Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Rock Rewind Review. I'm Jay.
I'm Mel.
And I'm back.
Oh, fucking shit. Who's that?
Oh, your long lost co-host and friend, Jared.
Oh.
Yeah. So Jared apparently has been on a ride.
That is a literal fact.
Right. So if you want to hear more about that, because he told us, you could check us out on the Patreon at patreon.com/TheRockRewindReview. Jared, if you want to get into a little something that...
Well,
on the free show,
I wouldn't so much say I went on a ride as I was taken on a ride.
Yeah.
And
there's that.
Yeah. There are some interesting people out in the world, and we'll leave it at that.
And that's on Cutting Room.
The Cutting Room Floor.
5.
Volume 5.
Yes. Yes.
So we definitely have an interesting topic, too. And as usual, too, I want to shout out and thank all our listeners and our Patreons because they're the one who's inspired this the topic of this episode. So basically what we're doing is soundtracks because, you know, who doesn't love a good soundtrack? I mean, it can make or break a movie. It's like the way I see it, if the movie is a supporting role, is the main role, then the soundtrack is a supporting actor. You need noise. I mean, as much as obviously movies are a very visual medium, they'd be nothing without sound. So we've all decided to, go down the long list of some of our favorite movies and choose maybe our favorite soundtracks or our favorite songs from that soundtrack. And I think, Mel, we're going to start off with you. You're going to go not a little off-brand, but
It's what I do. I just veer to the left. I just take it and go, yep.
We need that, though. That's the best thing in life is very varied perspectives. So I'll let you take over and kind of tell us your little 2 cents about this song.
But can I say something before Mel goes in?
Okay.
Because it's kind of a dive, and I can appreciate it, and it's going to be good. I promise you guys that. I just want to say welcome back, Jared. Yeah, you've been on a ride.
Yeah.
And, taken for a ride, however. But yeah, we're glad to have you back here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, and you sound great, man. You're looking good.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And it's good to be a 3-piece again.
Oh, yeah.
As it should be.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Mel.
Huh.
Back to you.
Oh, hello. Okay. So in thinking about soundtracks and what movie, to me, did the music really play a bigger role than just background noise was the movie Juice, which comes out in 1992. And what you can hear in the background is the song... That's Juice, Know the Ledge. It's by Eric B. and Rakim. It's actually also on their album, Don't Sweat the Technique. And so if you know anything about the movie or you don't, I'm going to give you, I don't know, a penny's worth. It's about 4 young men who are trying to figure out how to earn respect in an environment where they feel disrespected. So throughout the movie, you see various encounters of, again, these 4 young men who most of the time don't go to school because they'd rather stand on the street corner listening to their boombox. And one of the young men, Q, has the dream of being a scratch DJ. And so music, not only in the soundtrack, but also in the movie, is very important to the characters that you get to know as you see their day-to-day lives. Like, they wake up with their headphones on. You know, the music is always pumping whenever things are happening around them. And it's really, to me, and the reason I chose this was because it wasn't just songs that were put together. This specific song actually tells the story of having to make hard choices within your environment. Like, if everything you see around you is negative, how do you find your way? Your way for you, your way out, if you will, if that's what your dream is. And so throughout the movie, Bishop, who's actually played by Tupac, who prior to being, you know, famous for his rapping, was an actor.
Murdered.
Oh, yeah, that. Was an actor. And he has the hardest time with trying to make the best choices, and they witness, because they're not in school, they witness a robbery where one of the neighborhood friends actually gets killed. And then the boy's trying to figure out what to do. Again, Q has the dream of being a DJ. Steel is always hanging around with the boombox. And Bishop is the one who just can't find a way without violence. And so, events play out and the boys end up in that it's only Q who has chosen music and Steel who has also chosen music, represented by both the scratching of the records and the boombox, that end up surviving this neighborhood. And so, again, like Jared said, not only is this music relevant to the time period and the urban environment in 1992, but it's also speaking to you about the choices you have and where you can go in life if you can stay the course. So I thought it was just really relevant. And there's other songs on and artists on the soundtrack. Naughty by Nature and Too Short, Queen Latifah, Cypress Hill, they're all on the soundtrack and it's really good, but this is the one that I think is like literally the signature song. So that's what I have to say about that.
Great. I mean, that was a great synopsis of the movie. I mean, do you have something about the song or the soundtrack you would like to talk about?
I mean, well,
considering that's the topic,
it's one of the last songs that Eric B. and Rakim actually released together on this album. It doesn't really reach any real, I don't want to say real, that's mean, real notoriety because it's known as a soundtrack song. So like there's that, which is a negative, but the know the ledge is wordplay on knowledge and about how you get to know yourself by being pushed to your limits, which is one of the other things that I found really interesting about this song. And if you don't know Eric B. and Rakim, they're marvelous storytellers in the way that they can kind of encompass, you know, not just the music and the beat, but also tell the story, which is why I think they're so relevant to this movie and this soundtrack.
So, excuse me. So, yes, that song makes sense based on movie.
And just like any soundtrack does, it tells the story of that moment. So like when you look at what is happening with, if you were to reference the Naughty by Nature song, it's when the neighborhood's in an uproar and they have an anthem and they're all coming together. If you look at the Cypress Hill song, it's the part of the movie where Bishop has just shot his first victim. And so like all, just like any soundtrack, it's telling the deeper story of the movie at the same time while you're thinking that the music must go on.
Right. No, and I agree, but that Cypress Hill song, I think, was the banger on that soundtrack.
Well, we can play it if you want.
No, we're not going to do that.
Well, do you want to talk about which one it was?
No.
Oh, well.
Because we're not going to play it.
Okay.
So I don't want to tease it.
Oh, well. People can look it up. It's Cypress Hill, for God's sake. It's it's how I Could Just Kill a Man.
How I Could Just Kill a Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we already knew that.
Yeah.
I will say, I have been to a Cypress Hill concert, too.
Oh, well, lay it on us, bro.
Oh, my God. It's Jared again.
Fuck. Yeah. He's back.
So don't worry.
Where did he come in? Creeping in like a phantom.
I didn't go for another ride. Don't worry. I'm still here.
Yeah, I was like, is there an Uber outside? Yeah.
But funny enough,
patreon.com/rockrerunreview if you want to hear the fucking crazy ass story.
Yeah. Don't get in the van, ladies and gentlemen. But
don't give them too much.
Yeah, well, it'll leave enough taste in their mouth where they want to come back for more.
Well, they're going to be. We're all about public service announcements, and that's so right. I mean, in general, just don't get in the van.
Yeah. But so I had just turned 18, and you know, for my birthday.
So like 2 years ago.
No, wow. This was, wow.
Well, you got a fucking bag on him, dude. He's been gone for a couple weeks,
bags.
Man.
You right. Said it. Bags. Got a bag.
But just turned 18, wanting to go to, you know, a more of an adult concert. And so I decided to get myself a birthday present of going to a Cypress Hill and one of my other favorite hip-hop artists, Immortal Technique, who was opening them. Yeah, it was one of my favorites. But
so Immortal Technique was the opener?
Yep, he was the opener.
Great.
And unfortunately, I couldn't talk anyone into going with me because it was in the middle of a weekday. And as much as everybody knows Cypress Hill, I feel like not a lot of people know Immortal Technique, and I couldn't convince anybody. And yeah. You know how that goes. But
no, so. Yeah, no, I completely understand.
You need better friends.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
But no, I don't disagree with it at the time. If you have a friend that comes, hey, go see Cypress Hill with me. Hell, hey, come see any live music.
And
with
it was
me.
Your birthday, yeah. Which is why I'm saying, like, even if I didn't want to hear the shit, I'm going because it's your birthday.
Yeah. You love birthdays.
Well, I do love birthdays.
But then you shit on Jared and you're like,
I didn't.
You're a fucking young ass bitch and you need better friends.
No,
fuck you.
You said that.
That's what I heard.
Oh, well. That is not what I said.
That's what I heard.
Said was, so that was like 2 years ago, which is a compliment coming from someone in their mid-40s.
2 years ago?
Right.
There's no way he was 18 2 years ago.
It was a joke, a compliment. I wish somebody told me I look like I turned 18 2 years ago.
I wish you
ago.
Could do fucking math.
Okay. I wish you could be nice.
All right, ladies.
Dick.
Everyone, yeah. Everyone has wishes.
But to make a long story short, Cypress Hill blew the roof off. Very, very...
fuck yeah, they did.
Yeah. Very, very caring band, I'd say. As far as, like... I feel like some bands very much just show up and perform to get the check and don't really care if their audience is having a good time. They were very... I don't think immersive is the right word, but they were very, very in tune with the crowd, asking people how they were, asking questions, you know. Very... Yeah. It's always nice when artists or bands care.
Well, and that's what you want, too. It's like, look... And regardless of the money, like, look, I paid some money to come here to see you or whatever, but like, the only reason that you're fucking here and that I'm here is because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And you have fans. And so do it for the fans.
Exactly.
And the good bands that do that are successful. And there's some other ones out there. I don't know. I think there was at least a couple we talked about. Just me and you, Jared, are like on the Patreon at, on one time. But like, that's what you have to do it for.
Yeah. Yeah. You aren't just, you know, you aren't just making music. You're a performer.
Well, and that's what I was just going to say, that like part of that is the performance piece. It's what are you giving? What's the memory you're embedding in someone's mind? What was the experience like? Because listening on, you know, Apple or CDs or A-Tracks or wherever you whatever get your music from, you don't get to see how they perform,
right?
And that's why I think it's so phenomenal, and I think that more people should go
live
out.
Shows, dude.
Yeah,
live shows, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll say too, not even just see. I mean, obviously, listening or even watching a music video is a very one or two dimensional thing, but you know, going to a concert, it's all your senses. You're there. You're surrounded by the energy, the sound.
The smell.
Like, the smell. Like-minded people who want the same thing, a good show.
The smell is terrible.
The smell is bad. But worth it. Just
it's BO and dead skunks. You can, oh, that might be weed.
You could throw your clothes away.
Oh, I definitely do every time. Yeah,
ditto.
Yes.
After concerts and after bonfires, clothes gone.
Well, really? No.
Bonfire? I'll wear my clothes to sleep after a bonfire. That's the best smell.
No way, ooh. Jose.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm with Jared on that.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to throw away some shit because I went to a bonfire.
I will.
Well, you can avoid the smoke. Just look at the wind.
Anywho.
Sorry. Some of us are more versed in the outdoors.
Apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. So Jared has a soundtrack.
I do.
Where did you see them? Just
Yeah. Just that's a good point. It's a good point.
Paradise Rock Club in Boston.
Boston.
Oh, mass.
I actually saw on, where is it? I saw a sign today that you could buy a full Boston pork butt for 99 cents a pound.
Boston,
yeah.
What? Okay, so we got a fucking Marylander. Yeah. And a mass hole. So what is a Boston pork butt?
It's Jared. Just a cut of meat.
So it's obviously it's a pig, right?
Yeah. It's just like the rump.
It's a ham shank.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a whole Boston butt is what it said.
99 cents a pound. Yeah, I see that. Is that a McDonald's ad? You can get that at McDonald's?
Listen, I know we're getting a little off topic. Like it,
right? Food folks fun.
But I am seeing this thing. I saw them in the mall parking lot near us. They are selling 40 ribeye steaks for $50 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, don't buy any.
It's scary, and it's trucks. Well, if you buy your steak from a truck selling hawking steaks in a parking lot, I don't want it.
Yeah, and guess what, guys? If you drive 3 miles down the street, we got steaks from felloffatruck.com. That's felloffatruck.com. Free steaks.
May or may not be Boston butt.
Right. And that's, yeah. And if you want to use our code, that's triple R Boston butt for 20% off. That's felloffatruck.com.
And don't worry.
Triple R Boston butts.
And don't worry. Those aren't
20% off.
Those aren't.
That's not real.
Yeah.
It's a bit.
Completely safe.
No, don't ever.
No, those aren't. Don't worry. Those aren't tire treads in the steak. It's grill
yeah,
marks.
No, yeah,
it's grill marks. Don't
yeah,
worry.
It's not even beef.
Seasoning.
Yeah. How often do you run over a cow on the fucking freeway? Now it's probably a deer. I don't know. Tire
oh,
treads. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. So.
Oh, yeah. You said to Jared, what's your soundtrack? So I totally derailed that with my right. pork butt from Boston.
What's my soundtrack?
No, it's Jared's turn.
Here, oh yeah, that's right.
We're getting all off the rails here, ladies. Yeah, and
that's so, because you're back, and we don't know what to do with ourselves.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
The excitement I was missed is that overwhelming. Much,
huh? Yeah, but, and I will say too, like that fucking cutting room floor was like goddamn metal.
That was hilarious.
No, it was that's real.
But I knew as soon as we were gonna cover OSTs, and you know. One of my favorite movies of all time is a. I think it falls under the class of
well, it's kind of like teenage angsty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very cult classic was the word I was looking for. Yeah, sorry, cult classic. I had a bit of a brain fart.
But no, it's fine. It happens, dude.
But so
you've been off the mic for a while.
Yeah,
it's forgivable.
A little out of practice.
I'm glad it was your brain and not your butt. So.
Oh wow.
But so again, one of my favorite movies of all time, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And so what I also very much like about this, and why I think it fits really well into soundtracks, is I hesitate to call it a musical. And we're here to make you think about death and get. But it is very much centered around music as a whole, and they find a really interesting way to include the music into it. And this is one of my favorite songs on the movie, and it's from the actual band that the main character is in, called Sex Bomb, and the song is called Threshold.
I will say that is very raw.
Yeah. So it's something
very garage.
Yeah. So it's interesting you bring that up too. So one of the big name behind this movie is Michael Cera. I'm sure.
Yeah. And so he kind of portrays this kind of ironic fake rock star, garage rocker, right?
So what it is it follows Scott Pilgrim, played by Michael Cera, and
right.
and his bandmates and friends, as they traverse a battle of the bands, while simultaneously this plot where Scott Pilgrim, the main character, is trying to win over this very punk rock girl.
And yeah, lady friend.
Yeah, and in the middle of that, too, he has to battle her 7 exes.
So
so it's actually based off a comic book, too, and it's just this weird amalgamation of different cultures and different editing styles, and it's directed by, again, one of my favorite directors, Edgar Wright, and he's known for these kind of off the wall films. He also did Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, if you know that. So those kind of very absurdist, weird original comedy. And just to go back to what you were saying, very garagey sound. It's interesting because Michael Cera is very classically trained on the guitar and really, really good at it. And
he's an artist in his own right. And he's a great actor too. Yeah.
And he actually had to learn to play guitar worse to be able to make that kind of raw noise.
That adds up.
Yeah, as well as the other members having to learn how to play guitar at all. Because what is very interesting is the music itself is written by Beck Hansen.
which we know is just Beck.
Right. So it's written by him, but the actual noise is performed by the actors. So it's this very interesting amalgamation of raw talent and just learning and, you know, baptism by fire. And I think that adds to it that very, you know, great, angry, displaced noise.
No, and I agree with you. And, like, I hadn't seen that movie in some time. And, like, I know we talked prior to the show, like, what we're going to talk about. And you brought this up because we were talking about soundtracks. And I was like, yeah, I'm down, dude. Like, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
And because like, there's the underneath of, like, the Beck aspect. But, like, also the lead actor also is a musician. But had to tone it down.
Right.
And like, oh, let me be shittier than I could be.
And I do
for this movie.
Right.
But like, I guess that's, I don't know if it's character acting, but like, he played the part very well.
So. And I think it's very interesting to go back to something Mel said too, is, you know, a lot of music is written for a movie and it very much does like add to the movie. And, you know, it's written for a certain part or a certain crescendo or a certain plot point in the movie. But I think this movie, more than most other movies, does a really good job at putting music as just as much of a star as the actual characters.
Yeah, and it's kind of, and with this movie, it's like kind of in a forefront. And like you brought it up at the beginning, like, oh, it's sort of a musical, but not. Yeah. And
like I said, a lot of the plot is a battle of the band. So quite literally, the music and the soundtrack moves the plot forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do agree with you. Mel, what are your thoughts? If you could get off your phone for 2 seconds to maybe participate in the show.
I was looking up who else was in the movie.
I can tell you off the top of my head, some of his other bandmates' names. The person who plays Kim, which is the drummer, and his Scott's very, very...
love interest?
No, she's actually an ex of his, and a very melancholy kind of classic punk, I don't give a shit attitude. And she's played by Allison Pill.
Who's the girl that has all the ex-boyfriends that he has to battle out? Who's that?
I don't know the actor's name. Not even the actor's name.
What's her name? Like the character's name.
Oh, God. Why did I just draw a blank? I just had it on the tip of my tongue. Ramona.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. There you go.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Yeah. I don't know. Names are significant to me.
Yeah.
So I was just curious as to what her name was. Yeah.
And I do think it's very interesting. And I can't confirm it for this in general, but they do a lot of nods to, you know, classic garage, punk, all types of rock. And I do wonder if Ramon is kind of a tip of the hat to the Ramones.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of has to be.
Right.
And like, you know, we in this country, at least, we say garage rock, but I don't care what this motherfucker says, and he can kill me later. I do have to give a nod to some fucking shed rock. We talked about it a few episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
6 liter GTR.
Is that
from the chats
in Australia?
Yeah, and a buddy of mine. I don't care.
A friend.
Yeah, a friend of mine.
Okay.
Just happened to be in Austin, Texas.
Oh.
Last month. And guess who he walked into in his first mosh pit?
Mm. I can only imagine that we're being led to one answer.
Chats.
That's what I figured.
And he said, yeah, I'm a little bruised. It's my first pit, but I liked it. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. We talked about them a couple weeks ago. He didn't want to call in. He's super anonymous. We won't say even a fake name for him, but I'm going to say this. And he doesn't even want me to say what we just said, but, well, it's my show, and I don't really give a fuck. So thanks for that input. He said it was a wonderful show. They're a great band. And, sorry to derail us from Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Well, no, it's probably you did, because like I said, that's one of my favorite movies, so I can talk forever about
it. Did
he
win? Does he win?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh,
you have to watch it for yourself.
Yeah, come on now.
It's old at this point. Listener, there's no spoiler alert.
It's from 2010. I know. Then I'm a little late to the game, so maybe I could just find out the answer.
You're
at this
also
point.
A little late to fucking recording.
And
tonight.
Also, what do you mean? Does he win? Does he win the Battle of the Bands? Yeah. Does he win the girl?
All of
does
it.
Does he win?
Oh,
it all?
Wow!
All of it.
There's a lot of wins there. He could have
or doesn't.
It's all his to lose, like your employment status.
Oh my. Ooh. Okay.
Right. Be late again. We'll see what shakes out. So, with that said. Does anybody have anything else about Scott Pilgrim versus the world?
No, but I'm going to go Google what happens in the movie.
But you can do that in your free time.
In my free time, yep. We'll do.
But right now, we're going to take a break.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to be right back.
Looks like I have some free time.
It looks like you do. Maybe like, I don't know, 40 fucking seconds or so. So we're going to be right back, guys. Got to pause for a quick sponsor break. And as always, therockrewindreview.com. Check us out. Hey guys, welcome back from that quick break. Rock Rewind Review. And we're going to go right in.
I didn't get to say I'm Mel.
I'm Jay.
I don't get to do that now? All right.
Is that how we're doing it now?
I just like saying my name.
Oh, guys, welcome back.
Say my name. Say my name. Okay.
And then, I'm second.
I thought
it was really important to say our names today since Jared's back to say his name.
Hey, I just want to say that it is really good to have Jared back. Some of the listeners have kind of questioned, like, what the fuck happened to him?
Well, hopefully those same listeners will now have the extra little bit of information, because hopefully they're subscribed to our cutting room floor, and they'll be in for quite a story.
Yeah, I think so. And you are back.
I am.
Okay,
I'm back front and side to side.
Oh,
on all sides.
Oh yeah, but I think the people are probably on the edge of their seat for your soundtrack, though.
I mean, I don't know if they're on the edge of the seat, but
I think they are.
They don't know what it is yet.
They don't.
They're probably curious because we went from Juice to, I don't know, somebody versus the world. I forgot.
Opposite
sides of the medium.
Can you fucking help her, please?
Scotty Pilgrim versus the world.
There it is.
One of the best movies ever.
My boy, Scotty. Scotty doesn't know.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
That's another movie, though.
That is a whole other packaged unbox that we will not do now.
Well, okay.
But I do think we should get there.
And we will. But before we get to that, we got to get to this.
Indeed.
And this was my pick, Scream 3 soundtrack.
Woo!
And so for any of you like late 90s or 2000s fucking dickheads like myself, you might remember this. So it might start in with some butt rock.
Oh.
Which is Creed What If. And if you guys don't know what butt rock is, I'll just explain it to you.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, you know your local rock station, right? Fucking 106.7. Nothing but rock.
Ooh.
Right. And so, all right. So, yeah, that's your Creed. That's your Nickelbacks. That's your people, right?
Train?
Nothing but. Yeah. No, that's not rock.
Oh. Is it
Drops of Jupiter? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Is that butt rock? Anything but rock?
Nothing but
comma
rock.
So confused. All
right. Right. Oxford.
Commas.
Yeah.
They're important. All right. Sorry. Back to you.
Commas or comas. Either way. The music sounds the same.
Sorry. I won't interrupt you anymore.
Hi, I'm your Quaalude voice for the night for NPR radio.
You're going to leave us here?
Sorry. Yeah. Go to sleep.
You're going to tell him us something? You good get night. Another officer? Good another
night.
Offer?
Good night. Anyways, we come in with Creed. It's a good song. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Butt rock. And then track two. And I'll put it underneath for you guys. And you can sort of tell me what you think. It means something to me. And I have like kind of a cool story for this.
I felt the air rise up in me,
All right, so you guys heard the hook. So I guess I'll just get straight into the story. So it was like Auschwitz 99. I don't know. I think it was like 19 or something. They have multiple stages. I think I was waiting on like Incubus to set up. And me and my friends were like, oh, let's go grab a beer. You know, we're kids. We can't even buy beer. And let's go check out this third stage and see what's going on. And so there's these dudes in like jumpsuits surrounded by chicken wire. And like they're out in the dirt. And no, this is bad. And then like they're just kind of talking to each other like, oh, you guys want to play in G? You can play in F? Drop D? Oh, I don't know. Whatever. And then they went straight into Wait and Bleed. And there were seven people there. And, like, I talked about this before. And, like, we had a caller. And, like, he's a friend of the show. But he's like, dude, your fucking band-to-crowd ratio needs to be, like, higher. There was more people in the band than there were in the crowd to see them. And then, like, they stand up. And, like, they're in these, like, weird, you know, like blue jumpsuits. And I'm like, what are you guys going to fucking change some oil or something? Like, I just don't understand. And so, yeah. And they went straight in and Wait and Bleed. And they goddamn blew the roof off the fucking dump. They played like seven songs, like 20 something minutes, third stage. That's a lot of time. And then we didn't hear anything from them for like a year. And what you just heard underneath was Slipknot, Wait and Bleed from the Scream 3 soundtrack. And that's when I heard that song the first time that it was available. And then so like, okay, so we had something. And I'm like, okay, who are these guys? They're great. And then their self-title came out like probably 2 months later. And it just never left my CD player for like a fucking year. Like ever. It was absolutely insane. But other than that, there's a bunch of other bands on the soundtrack, but Mel, you raised your hand.
I did.
You have something to say about this song.
I was just going to comment as to, and I was reading the names of the other bands that are on this soundtrack, and I was thinking to myself, was Slipknot asked specifically to do this because they're scary in and of themselves? Or like, by associating Slipknot, it would give credit to the scariness of the movie that it's in? Like, I was just wondering, was it really, I don't know. And then I was trying to read the rest of the names of the bands and was wondering, like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know how they ended up there, but it doesn't matter because, and I wouldn't say that like,
well, it's all about the mask. Scream 3 is all about the mask, and
that's true. And everybody in this motherfucker has a mask on,
right?
So, I'm like, Halloween's over, dickhead. Like, you're behind chicken wire. What's up?
I was trying to make the correlation.
Okay, well, that's, you know, very articulate.
Something I was wondering too. Because obviously, too, they are very much completely unknown at that point at the concert.
Yeah, it was like 99.
And I feel like whenever people, you know, you hear a story from someone, oh, I saw this band before they were big, or oh, their first show, whatever, they very much like to mysticize and make it this big, grandiose story. And do you feel like when you saw these guys starting to play, there was just something about them, an aura where you were like, I think I'll see these guys again?
Well, and to answer Mel's question, like, I don't think that they used this movie. I think the movie probably hit them up and we're like, we really want this song. And like, it might have been in the end credits. I don't think that song, Wait and Bleed, was in the fucking movie proper. Right. Like, there was no scene in the movie that was like, oh, so and so is running and they, you know, and they didn't. Because, of course, it's a horror movie, so they go to the worst place, which is upstairs, and then they can't get out, and they get fucking whacked, right? So right. That's how horror movies work. And Scream 3 was kind of shitty. Like, Well, I mean, it was a good movie, but it's Scream 3, well, right? So, like, it's the third version of I couldn't fucking get it right the first two times. But then to answer Jared's question, well, I guess to go back, I don't think that this soundtrack launched the band. I think they would have been... Well, they're obviously huge now. They would have launched regardless of the soundtrack. But
it's probably a very symbiotic thing, though. We're going to get good stuff out of it. You're going to get good
stuff. Right, right. And to answer your question, no, when I saw them, I was like, who the fuck are these guys, dude? Mm-hmm. Like, it was like they were just literally, there was more people in the band that were watching than were watching them.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm just waiting on Incubus. So, like, I guess I'll check these fucking dickheads out with, you know, masks, and there's chicken wire everywhere, and they're in the dirt, they're in the back in the weeds, and it's like, and they're just talking amongst themselves, like, oh, do you want to play some G or drop D or whatever? And then they just like stood up and just like fucking went straight into Wait and Bleed. No, they went straight into that song, and it sounded exactly like what we just heard underneath. And I was like, oh my God, I'm fucking hooked.
Yeah. So, then, once you heard that noise, you had kind of that cartoon moment of just wide eyed.
Yeah, it was like Looney Tunes logic, dude. Yeah. Like my fucking mouth to the floor, and I was like, oh, I get it now. Yeah.
You were just like, I'm
But nobody, they weren't even, I don't even think they were on the fucking ticket, dude. They weren't even on the bill. Like they didn't, like, they were third stage, right? Yeah. So like they weren't even like listed.
Yeah. But it's just interesting how I do think there is something to those kind of bands that are going to make it and have that talent, because I've heard what you're saying from a couple different people that have seen bands like in their very start, where it's just like their aura and their energy just exhumed talent and
got to go. I believe you were looking for exuded.
Yeah.
Can I just make 2 points?
Sure.
One, while the Slipknot album was up there, did anybody else notice that they were advertising wire mesh? It literally came across the album cover. And then secondly, in the same way that you mentioned in 1999 that you were waiting for Incubus, Incubus also has a song on this soundtrack.
We're getting there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then.
But thank you. We'll put a pin in that for right now.
Okay. Thank you. All
right. Right. So, and there's been a ton of stuff on this soundtrack that we've talked about as bands. I think there was a cutting room floor. So track 6, Fall by Seven Dust. I think we did that on the cutting room floor episode or volume
4.
And then Godsmack. We did a whole Boston episode on that's on the cutting room floor, Jared and I. That song's not featured in that cutting room floor, but it's the same band. Tyler Song by Cold Chamber. So Real by Static X. And this motherfucker's name, for real, is Wayne Static. RIP, by the way. Oh, and if I could run it back to episode 5, I believe, we missed a rip. So we're talking about supergroups, and we're talking about the Traveling Wilburys.
Not wheelbarrows.
Not wheelbarrows, not yard implements. George Harrison, also a rip that I missed. So I believe that's a 6 rip episode.
Yeah.
Right. So you guys can run it back and rewind it, if you will, to check that for yourself. And then we have, Incubus. Yeah, you're right. Crowded Elevator. That's a great song. We're not going to hear it here. Or maybe we can.
Why not?
Do you guys want to hear
it? Give me like, a little piece. Let me.
A little 30 seconds.
It's a good song.
Give me a taste. Well, because they're both in your story. They're both in the soundtrack. Come on, let's full circle this sumbitch.
Wow. Somebody's aggressive and angry as fuck.
Passionate, I think, is the word.
Somebody needs a Snickers.
The Commanders play tonight. I'm pent up.
Oh. So you're a hand model?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me go ahead and... All right. So we got some technical difficulties. If somebody wants to vamp for me...
I don't think they want us listening to it. I think that's the plot behind it. We're doing too good as a podcast.
No, maybe just nobody likes Incubus.
I will tell a funny little story about Slipknot that makes me feel old and might make you two feel ancient. So I have a friend.
Do you remember that earlier I paid you a compliment by saying 2 years ago you were 18 and now I'm ancient? All right, go ahead.
I said it'll make you feel ancient.
No, I got to get ready for my game. Got to get my game face on.
No, give it to her. She fucking blew me up last week about my age. So you fucking beat her to death.
So I have.
I didn't see shit.
I have a very close family friend who I've literally known since, you know, I was a toddler, and very close family friends, and her sister, who I literally was there on the day she was born, was hanging out with us, and we're just talking about music, you know, yada yada yada, and I think she's 18 or 19 during the time of this conversation, and she starts talking about music, and she goes, yeah, I want to ask you guys about a band. It's a pretty old band. Like, it might be too old for you guys to know, but, you know, my dad listens to it, and we're like, oh, yeah, sure. What do you think? She goes, Slipknot.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, they're super old. Like, I mean, they're done, right?
Yeah.
They didn't just release a record, like, last month.
No, I think they're pretty geriatric.
Yeah.
But pain still, to hear the way she's talking about it.
No, I get it.
And
dude,
make it be like, you would have thought she was talking about the Beatles.
Right. Which, you know, they're not making new music. But we found the song.
Oh, yay.
I don't know if it's going to play.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now. I forgot all about that song. Fuck.
You're welcome.
Mel, thanks for bringing that up.
Hey, you are welcome.
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't get beat to death, so I could be here to say thank you, and you're welcome.
Fuck shit. Yeah. Yeah, so we got Dope. Debonair. That was good. It was also featured on... No, Dope was also... No, it might have been the same song. On the first... Fast and Furious.
I don't have no idea.
Yeah, when Paulie Walnuts Walker is an FBI agent, but he breaks into Johnny Tran's house with a warrant.
I've never
There's seen. A dope song in there, and it might be this one.
Okay.
That's another rip, too.
Yeah,
Paulie
rip.
Walnuts.
Yep. Not Too Fast and By Curious, but just the first one. Oh, sorry. Did I say that?
The very first one where it's like... How you like them apples, driving down the car, like the very first Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah. Orgy. That's great. And then Creed's on here twice with Is This the End? No, it's Creed's a bookend.
Yeah.
They open and close this soundtrack. And Click Click by Year 2000, which there's a lot of stuff in that band, and you guys can like look it up in your free time, but I think this might be the best, at least at the time, soundtrack at the time. And I think we've all brought a really good soundtrack to the table. We've discussed it. Mel went more into the movie, which is great.
Because it plays a part.
It's only one movie, so I didn't do the movie part because there's two other iterations of it.
Right.
And so, like, they had to do it three times or maybe more to make it make sense, and they're trying to run that franchise. It's not Saul, right? Saul has, like, 9 movies.
Right.
None of them are particularly great. So, but those are horror movies. And if you want a horror movie podcast, you guys can check out Quality Time Podcast, wherever you find podcasts. That's how I got into horror movies, for real. Check them out. They're great. Great. Absolutely fantastic. Jared, your thoughts? Scream 3.
I think it's been established now that I know just about no horror movies. And I think I'm at the butt end of too many jokes for that. I think I'm a silent demographic. I'll stand up for all my other horror movie non-fans here.
Okay. Well, first of all, Courtney Cox's haircut is absolutely just atrocious. I am a really big fan of Neve Campbell, so that was nice. I like her, and she doesn't do very much anymore, especially, but that was fun to see her. And I didn't really care that there were 3 of them. It didn't really take away anything from me. I kind of like the story. The first one is obviously the best one.
Yeah.
The music wasn't It's not bad music.
I'm a huge Incubus fan, and this is a song that you couldn't get anywhere else.
Well, there's
this
that.
This is not any other Incubus record. Well, that's
record. What I think was important or relevant to what I was talking about in mind, that the reason the soundtrack didn't get as much accolades as maybe it could have is that those songs were all on those artists' own records, albums, whatever. But for this, you had to come to this soundtrack to get that Incubus song, which I think is important. But in terms of like horror movies in general, I don't usually think about at all the soundtrack because I'm usually just hiding underneath my blanket. So this was kind of nice to revisit the movie without being jump scared or trying to figure out, you know, who was it and blah, blah, blah.
I feel like with horror movies, you're usually in a state of mind and panic that you aren't really paying attention to the music compared to most other movies, just because you're just so terrified.
Right. Although this one is more humorous than I would say scary, but I mean, they were good. And I think I actually went to the theater to see all three of these.
And maybe that's why they, you know, paid more attention to the soundtrack, because they know, you know, they might pay more attention to it because it's not a truly just nothing but horror movie.
Yeah, and I definitely saw this. I can't remember the dude's name, but we used to work together. And we got off work, and I was like, hey, man, Scream 3 just dropped tonight. You want to see it? And he's like, oh, fuck yeah. So we left work, drove to the cinema, saw the movie. And then I got to think that Slipknot song was at the end of the credits.
Mm.
Like, well, at the end of the movie when the credits roll.
Right. In addition to being in part the movie itself, you think it was just... Yeah, you think it was in the movie?
No, it wasn't in the movie at all.
Oh, it was just for the credits.
Yeah, yeah, because there was no way that could fit in the movie. And for five bonus bar dollars, does anybody know what other song from Slipknot was in another movie soundtrack?
I feel like I would just be taking a stab in the dark.
Stabs work, too.
It is a horror movie, so stab away.
Kind of a horror movie.
Well, no, yeah. The ref were in the Scream 3 soundtrack.
Well, no, Stab. And the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of.
So the other movie is kind of a horror?
Yeah. Kind of a horror.
Not quite.
Episode title. Kind of a horror.
Didn't my Massachusetts just come out?
Yeah,
I think so. Drop an R right there in the horror?
Kind of a horror.
Well, now they know for real.
So what's your guess?
Think video games. I'll give you a fucking hint.
Oh. Video game movies. Doom? Or Duke Nukem?
No.
No?
Close. Not Drake's Uncharted. Shout out Mark Wahlberg.
Whew. Oh, Witcher?
No.
You want me to just
name
video
games? That's Michael
Fassbender,
right?
I don't know who did the
TV adaptation.
That's
Assassin's Creed. That's Assassin's Creed. It's Michael Fassbender. I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Thank you, because I tapped out.
Oh, I didn't see any tapping. You can't. Okay. Okay.
I was reiterating the tap.
Oh, okay. All right. So
the answer is?
The answer is Resident Evil. The first one. And Slipknot's sophomore follow-up record, Iowa, they had a song called, anybody know? My Plague.
Oh.
Right, so they're chasing diseases and...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so My Plague.
Iowa.
Did you do a lot of...
Resident Evil.
Do a lot of playing of Resident Evil?
I will tell you, the first one was absolutely fucking horrifying.
That is true. You do a very good job at truly...
Are we talking about the video game or the movie? I'm completely...
The video game.
Oh, okay, we're in Boytown.
The movie's fine.
Are we in Boytown? We're in Boytown?
We're in Boytown.
Okay,
we can get out. We can get out of that.
I'll just tap back out again. Hey. I'm tapping.
All right, well, let's get back into fucking a three-piece, all right?
Okay.
Got to keep it moving.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Boytown, I think we have a shout-out to one of our boys, or more specifically, one of your boys.
Well, we will. Let's wait on that, because we got to do news.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll do it.
Sure.
But...
I do think, too, we have some interesting news that might...
We do, and we can also kind of all chime in, too. So, all right, from... Are we taking a break?
No, we're going.
We're going right in.
Yeah.
All right, and we're going to close it out?
Yep.
No break?
Nope.
Okay.
I got things to do.
loudbar.com. And I kind of teased this on the news the other night. Tom DeLonge thanks Matt Skiba for keeping Blink-182 alive during his absence. So this is kind of big, and you guys can chime in at therockrewindreview.com or therockrewindreview@gmail.com. And for those of you that may be new listeners or whatever, Tom DeLonge was Blink-182 for 100 years, and Matt Skiba was in a different band, but I joined Blink-182.
Yeah, like, okay, so he, like, stepped up?
I wouldn't say stepped up. He, like, got...
Stepped over?
No, no, he, like...
he didn't step.
He got the nod, and he's from Alkaline Trio, right? Mm. So yeah. That's on the Mount Rushmore, if it had 12 faces
right.
instead of four.
And he did it with the grace of from Tom.
I don't know. I don't know that. We're not going to report that because we don't know.
Right.
But so anyway, Alkaline Trio to me is like one of those Mount Rushmore bands that has more than four faces. But so, and if you guys know me personally, you already know that. But so anyway, so from loudbar.com, that's what they're saying. Tom DeLonge has some words on it, and you guys can check that out.
It's always good to see artists, you know, showing their appreciation and love for a fellow artist.
Yeah, but I'm not really sure that's the direction they were going with that article, but that's fine. And, you know, it's always good to be hopeful, but, you know, we'll see what shakes out. But so for you guys that want to check it out, it is a good article. It's not too long. That's loudwire.com. And so another one of our favorite websites, blabbermouth.net. And this one is kind of cool to me, because I'm a big fan. So Filter shares new single for The Beaten. That's their new single for The Beaten.
Okay.
So they get a new record coming out, obviously. His name's Richard Patrick. That's funny. But anyways, I like Filter. I think they're good. They got something coming up soon. It says they have a new single, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I only found like 2 seconds of it.
Yeah, so
somewhere.
The For the Beaten is the single that they released, and it says that they're like having a dark and heavy moment. Like, I don't know. It's weird. And they're excited for everyone to hear the full album. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But it doesn't really say, like, when it's coming out.
Well, maybe they're trying to be a little secretive about it.
They just want you to know that it is.
I mean, yeah.
And they want you to wait for it.
Yeah.
And they want you to look for it in your free time.
When is that?
In your free time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talked about supergroups before.
It just says 2023.
Well, we'll make sure to keep the listeners up to date on that, too, then.
Yeah, we're going to have to get into that. And I will say, until the winter solstice, we have to talk about Weezer to just close that out. There's a fucking, like, at least 10-episode moratorium on fucking Weezer. We cannot. I can't. I don't care what the fucking news is or what. Rivers Cuomo could die in a fiery auto crash.
Okay, that's not
God
true.
God bless it. I hope he doesn't.
I will cover it if that happens.
I'm not.
Okay, and I will.
Weezer is over.
They're not. He's just done talking about them. Let's be clear.
No, they're over here.
Okay, he's done.
Comma here.
Ah.
This one I thought was great. So back in the day, you guys remember like Roadrunner United. So there was a ton of artists on Roadrunner. Like, you guys know who they are. Like Trivium, Machine Head, Fear Factory, Typo Negative, Cradle of Filth. There was a ton. Slipknot was on there for like a hot minute.
I got to say, I'm a new Machine Head fan.
Oh, that's right.
I found that out the other night.
You are.
I am.
And if you want to hear that Machine Head bit, you can check us out on patreon.com/therockrewindreview because I feel like that was cutting room for volume 4. So, yeah, you can find that there. Mel kind of goes apeshit about Well, it's funny. It's a good interaction. So check it out. But yeah, so I think it's like a anniversary thing. So Roadrunner United is coming back out with a new, well, I guess announces album and live album reissues. So all those, like, you could buy them. They were like, you know, wow, that's what I call or now or whatever it is. And that's what I call music volume one. But it was like Roadrunner, right? And so it was like this compilation set of like crazy metal bands that were like great at the time. And so I think they're trying to do that now. You could do pre-orders and
looks like it's being pushed in March of 2023.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's not really super far away, but I don't know. But it's all those guys that you like, Killswitch, Machine Head, Slipknot.
Can we just say Machine Head one more time?
Machine Head.
Okay.
I feel. Can I just say Trivium one more time?
You can.
Yeah, there's some Heafy news, which needs the lead singer, but we're not going to get into that. Okay. You guys can check it on your own. But this is from metalinjection.net. So if you want to check that out, it's like their top headline. And then I think actually right now we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into something even better.
More local.
More local, but better news.
Yeah.
And I think a break is warranted. Right now is deserving. For what we're going to cover.
Yeah, we need to pause.
Just to tease it. So, yeah, we're going to take you out with this, as we always do. And we'll be right back after a quick sponsor break. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back from a quick break. Still the Rock Rewind Review.
I'm still Mel.
I'm still Jared.
And he's still here.
And he's still here, motherfuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Can't get rid of me that easy.
No, it's great. I don't know. Maybe at the top of the show we'd said it, but or at least maybe I did. I don't remember, but I've been meaning to say it. I'm glad you're back, dude. Like, this is great.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Happy to be back.
Yeah, dude. Like, we've had a good show, and, like, the cutting room floor was absolutely fucking fantastic. So, if you guys want to check that out at patreon.com/TheRockRewindReview. But, no, seriously, Jared led that, and it was great. It truly is worth the money.
Yeah, I'll go as far to say is that that's our best cutting room floor yet.
Agreed. Guaranteed. So, we have something else to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not doing, normally we do, the Rock Rewind Review. We would review a record at this point in the show. We're not going to do that because someone we know is playing a show tomorrow night.
Ooh.
At the Auto Bar.
Yeah.
Doors open.
8:30?
Show starts at 7:30, so I think the doors probably open at 8:30. Or I mean, I'm sorry, the doors probably open at 7:30.
Because the show starts at 8:30.
Right.
Okay.
They're on around 11-ish.
And they are?
Heavywire. Heavywire. That's right. And they are playing with Proper Nouns, TV Thief, and Mental Notes. And if you guys don't know where the Auto Bar is, it's at 2549 North Howard Street, Baltimore, Maryland. That's 21218. So get your tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Get in. It's $10 day of. If you get them now, it's $10. Day of show, $12. So that's a pretty affordable show to see all those bands.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know anything about the other ones. Heavywire, I am a fan of.
Oh, yeah.
They're great. So,
yeah, they're excellent. And I won't say I know any of the other bands' work either, but just going on their names, that sounds like that's going to be a heavy show. That sounds great.
Oh.
And here's a little Heavywire for you guys. This is called Nothing by Heavywire. This is the official music video, and it's absolutely fantastic. Listen up. We'll be right back.
Love it.
Mel, the thoughts?
I liked it too. I didn't watch the video. You know I never do. So I was just watching listening to the music.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the video. I think it's great.
I really like the video. I think it's one of those that adds to it, and I would definitely suggest our listeners to go check it out. Is it weird that we've listened to this record 5 times today?
Well, just the song.
And right, song. But easily 4 or 5 times today, and
yeah,
I ain't getting sick of it.
Well, I just subscribed. Because, like, well, I've had some social media changes, so, like, I've had to subscribe to new things that I used to subscribe to. So,
right.
Yeah, but I subscribed again. I'm sitting here in a tuxedo t-shirt. This shit's fucking great. I love it. They're all lined up playing their instruments, like, up against the wall. And, like, it's just so, like, and it reminds me of, like,
It looks authentic. Can I just...
No, like, it's very authentic.
Like, now that I'm looking up at the video, like, I was enjoying the music. I like the sound of it. I like his voice. I like all of that. But now that I, like, look up, like, it looks authentic. Like, it looks like they're truly enjoying this.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I really like that you can tell that this is... They have a grassroots relationship. I think all 4 of these guys have been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And you can just see their chemistry.
Yeah, and I won't shout him out, but because I don't know if he wants that. But I know one of these guys in this band personally, and I know that they're all friends. And this is exactly, like, I couldn't picture him doing anything else. And this band is great. This song is a little bit older, but this is the one that we put up. And just them standing there, all 4 of them next to it, like each other, playing instruments, and it's really reminiscent. Like, if you put it on mute, like, to me, because I'm a little older than them, it reminds me of, like, Helmet or something. Like, but the video is great, and they have their own, like, YouTube channel, and that's probably, like, Heavywire YouTube. Just Google it, you'll probably find it.
Yeah. And I did say we listened to this song a few times. We were going through their entire channel and every one of their songs. It was hard to pick one song to play on our show, but I really, really dig their vibe, their talent, their energy. They're kind of just, like I said, you can tell they're wholesome friends who really care about what they're doing, and I really like that.
Yeah, and no, I would agree with that, too.
Yeah,
Mel, your thoughts?
I mean, I don't know what else to add. The show's tomorrow, so I mean, I have the Commanders tonight. I may have a little Heavywire tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna try with all my might to get that show. I don't even care what it costs, but I'm gonna do it.
Well, side note: there's ample street parking, and there's a parking lot right behind the venue. So if you're a person that's like, I avoid this city because there's nowhere to park, there's a parking
lot. Well, I don't go to the city, and you know that. But I'm definitely, after Jared's story, not going to get a fucking Uber.
Mm. Right.
I can tell you that. But I'm going to run this up because, like, this is deservedly.
Oh, yeah. We got a little more heavy wire.
This is Future Toys, by the way. Oh, I'm going to subscribe to this, too. Apparently you guys have 2 channels.
Time.
Well, you guys have it. You're going to hear it tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to do something fucking absolutely fucking crazy.
What you got planned?
The first person to hit us on any social media platform is getting four tickets. Four tickets. That's right. Four tickets to the Auto Bar tomorrow night for Heavy Wire, Proper Nouns, TV Thief, Mental Notes, and that's at 2549 North Howard Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21218. The Auto Bar, tomorrow. Doors probably open at 7:30. The doors are at 8:30.
Yes.
Okay. Is that from their official website?
I am on the Auto Bar
Okay.
website.
Well, then there you go. 8:30. Wait. First person to hit us up on any social media or email or whatever. Mel, where can they find us on Twitter? Because I always fuck this up.
It's at podcast RRR.
Twitter? Something.com?
No, it's just, you only need the...
I don't know. That's why I asked you. I don't want to fuck it up. And I don't want to fuck it up for Heavy Wire. So...
I'm still knee-deep in Heavy Wire trying to figure out how to get the tickets when somebody hits us up. That's where I am.
Well, buy them right now.
Okay, well, that's what I'm doing.
I also really like their versatility because I feel like the other other song we just had on by them was
it was way hard.
Yeah, very hard, very fast-paced, very, you know...
Yeah, and like I encourage you guys to like go to their YouTube. Like they have they have some live stuff too, and it's like it really kind of showcases, well, like Jared said, their versatility, but like also like how tight they play live.
Yeah,
and, they're really good.
We were having some real issues choosing a song from them, and then even once we figured out the song, we had to choose the version we wanted because they had a live version up that was just absolutely phenomenal.
That's correct.
So, yeah.
I just want to clarify a couple things here.
Is this shit sold out? Are we fucking up again?
No, hold on. So the doors open at 8:30. It is tomorrow, October the 14th, which, shout out, is my sister's birthday.
Shout out, no one gives a fuck.
Okay, and the Twitter handle is at podcast RRR. We're not saying triple R anymore. It's at podcast RRR.
True.
And in terms of the tickets... they are still available, and four is your limit, just so you know.
Look at that.
All right, well,
it to happen.
Jared, can you help me out? I'm going to mute for a minute. I'm going to get my credit card. I'm going to give it to Mel. We're buying four tickets right now.
There you go.
And the first person to hit us up on anything social, any email, whatever it is, they're getting four tickets to that show.
We have 9 minutes and 52 seconds.
We have 9 fucking minutes.
To make this purchase.
All right. Give us the countdown. I'll be right back. I'm going to be on mute.
All right.
All right.
I don't know if I need to keep counting down, but it is. We're now at 9:40.
And I will just because I want to plug it, just because I'm real proud. This one I made all by myself. Our Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Official Rock Rewind Review Pod, all lowercase. And again, I really want to thank the listeners for interacting with us on all of our socials. I mean, we wouldn't have necessarily had a topic in mind. You know, a few of our listeners, whether it be through collective consciousness or just for whatever reason, but we had a few write-ins saying soundtracks, and you know, we like to listen to our viewers, and not only that, we really did think it was a good idea. So, you know, you viewers or listeners, I keep saying viewers. But, you know, they're who we do it for, and we wouldn't be anywhere without you, and it really, you know, matters. It really makes a difference.
In addition to that, do you know how old the Auto Bar is?
So, you guys have been talking about it kind of almost like it's like a landmark. Is it a well-known Baltimore kind of establishment? Just because, again, I'm from Mass, I don't seem to know anything around here. But is there a lot of, like, old history here?
It's not so much real history. It's just it's one of those places downtown that, like, I don't know. It's 20 years old. Well, in 2017, it was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So now it's, what, almost 25 years old, which is kind of cool.
Right.
All right. Can you mute me? Because I now have 8 minutes to make this purchase.
Yeah, Mel's got credit card shit to do.
I sure do.
So we're going to hear the live version of Heavy Wire Future Toys. And we're going in. This is a live version. Yeah, Future Toys. It's so good.
That's going to be a great show to go to.
Yeah, and like, so this is like a really good picture of like what they're going to look like live tomorrow. When you're going to see them, Mel's working the Amex right now, buying tickets to the Auto Bar. Four tickets. First person to hit us anywhere on social media, anywhere on email, anywhere. Call me, text me, whatever. People that know me, know me.
Then the helicopter
on the
roof.
You're getting fucking four tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Four tickets to fucking Heavy Wire. We like them.
Oh, we love them.
They're great.
Absolutely.
Dude, this song's so hard, dude. I like the produced one, like, a little bit better, but like for a live band, dude, like this is good.
Oh yeah, plus you have to think this is probably recorded on an iPhone or something, like actually being
no, it's not. I know the person that recorded it.
Oh, is this their actual YouTube?
Yeah, it's not. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not a fucking phone. I could guarantee you that.
Yeah,
and that wasn't meant to be a dickhead to you. I just know that it's not an iPhone.
Yeah, no,
I mean it might be, but Either way,
though, like I more just meant the point of, like, nothing sounds as good as when you're in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I just love that they look like they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. Mel, how's it going with the tickets?
Going great. Typing in some security codes and whatnot.
Oh, you gotta love how complicated they make it nowadays.
Oh, come on, Sonny. If I can figure it out, you got it together.
Just because I can figure it out doesn't mean it's not complicated.
Sonny? Yeah, he's a good man.
Stay off my yard.
Oh, there we go. You should.
We got four tickets?
We do.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And you should be getting your confirmation email shortly.
Oh, I just got a confirmation email. So guess what? Four tickets are available. We had a situation last time. There was an admin that has since been fucking let go. That we promised tickets to somebody and it didn't work out because they didn't get them. And we're doing it right here, live, right now. We got the tickets. It's done. It's confirmed. Four tickets. Heavy Wire.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night at the Auto Bar.
8:30, the door's open.
8:30.
They're on at 11.
They're on at 11-ish.
Parking is ample.
I don't do parking permits. I'm not buying parking tickets. Who tries to cash a bill?
Okay.
I don't know. But I think that's a wrap, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy Wire. Check them out. Again, first person to hit us on anything, social, email, whatever. You're getting four tickets to Heavy, or you're getting four tickets to Heavy Wire. Yourself and three of your friends, however you want to whack it up. But get out there. Check them out. I'll be there. You can see me.
Support local music.
I'm not famous. Heavy Wire is.
Good night.
Adios.
Have a good one.